Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord. And by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. We certainly pray that everyone had a blessed Christmas. And we certainly pray that you also have a happy New Year. And of course, that comes most of all with knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we pray that you know Him. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the message. Father, you know the need of the hour better than we do. Help us to stand, help us deliver it in the power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in the book of 2 Timothy today, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We left off last week talking about how everyone that nameth the name of Christ departs from iniquity, and which is very important. But then it carries on as we go forward in this next part. It says in verse 20 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." And you know, even within God's people and even within the churches, you've got, well, I guess the best way to say it is this: the church is a family. God, as soon as you're saved, you're born into the family of God. And of course, that's a free gift of God unto salvation. That's eternal. It's never changing, not taken away. Of course, some people use that to kind of say, well, I don't have to work for God. I don't have to serve God. And they don't know about the judgment of the saved. And I'll say this, the Bible declares it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, to be disobedient and to walk in the ways of the world. So I think that's foolishness of people to do that. But, you know, within any family that you have, even the family of God, you got some family members that you're kind of proud of, you know. And you got other family members that you really don't even want to claim that much. And that's what you have even within the Lord's people. You know, you've got some vessels to honor and you got some to dishonor. You got some things that are pleasant, you got some that are not. And, you know, of course, a lot of people want to say, well, I can live however I want to and God's pleased with me. Listen, the Bible is very clear that you can quench your fellowship with God to the point that God won't even hear your prayers according to Scripture. It doesn't change the fact that you're one of His children, but until you repent, He's not listening to you. He's not answering your prayers. He's not blessing you. He's not rewarding you. You know, if you're acting disobedient, He's not going to reward you for that. He's not going to honor you for that because you're not honoring Him. And even within the Lord's family, you got some to honor and some to dishonor. And you know, I've heard some people say, well, that person's not saved. Listen, if it wasn't written down in the Scripture, I wouldn't believe Lot was saved. But the Bible declares he had a righteous soul. That's what the Bible declares. I can't argue with God's Word. It says that he had a righteous soul, that he was saved. But I'll tell you this, he lived a lot differently than Abraham did. He was definitely not one of the more honorable people you find in the Scripture and how he lived his life and how he went about. But according to Scripture, he was a saved man. Abraham put God first. Abraham sought to serve God. It doesn't seem like Lot did that. I mean, he saw all the evils going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet he didn't want to say anything about it because he was more concerned about him than he was about the people or God. I mean, that's why even his son-in-laws, you know, when he told them that God was going to destroy the place, they just laughed at him. He hadn't been standing up for the truth. He hadn't been doing what was right. I mean, he was accepted in that place, and he was even in prominence in that place. We find him in the gates of the city. That's usually a place of prominence. But yet the Bible says he was a saved man. You think there's people in churches that are kind of like Lot today? There are. But he says, and this is the part we want to get to, he says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, if you'll purge yourself from the sins of the world, from the things of the world, he said, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Sanctified means set apart and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now he's talking about being used of God. You know, a person can be saved, but they're not able to be used of God. They're not in a condition where God can use them. And they need to get themselves in that condition. But sadly, many are not. And so Paul is telling young Timothy here, he says, listen, you've got to make sure you purge yourself from these, because if you want to be used of God, you've got to make yourself useful. And sinning is not useful to God. Selfishness is not useful to God. Lust, these type of earthly desires, that's not useful to God. But if we can make ourselves a vessel of honor that is set apart from the world, sanctified, meet for the master's use, ready and willing to be used of God, and prepared unto every good work. Now, if we get ourselves in that condition, God will say, well, I can use that person. Sadly, in our day and time, we got a lot of people that are not prepared to be used of God and have not made themselves ready to be used of God that are trying to say, oh, God's using me, God's in this and God's in that. And I'm looking at Scripture and going, no, that doesn't fit. That doesn't go together. You got to get yourself ready so you can be used of God. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And he's saying, this is what we need to be. We need to have this pure conscience with God. We need to have a pure heart. And how do we do that? We shouldn't be, you know, on up in age and still acting like a child. One of the most disturbing things that I'm seeing, and I know probably others of you have seen the same thing, but you got a lot of people in their 40s, 50s, even 60s and 70s, and they're trying to act like they're teenagers. Sadly, they're dressing like it. They're walking around in fantasy land. And it's all about me, 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 and that's pretty much all of our civilization today. We're more focused about what tickles our ear and what, you know, gets our attention real quick. And there's no maturity. There's some conversations I can't even have with some of God's people because they're not mature enough to take it. They're not spiritual enough to receive it. And there's sometimes that I preach very milk doctrine and people are getting upset about it. And I'm like, look, I'm like, this is milk. It's the basic stuff. Man asked me one time, he said, what was one of the most upsetting messages, you know, you preached and just people got real upset? And I was like, I preached against adultery. He's like, that's one of the Ten Commandments. I said, yeah. I said, that's kind of milk, isn't it? I said, but people got upset about it. I said, there's people who get upset when you preach there's only one way to be saved. I said, there's people that get upset when you preach about baptism. This is milk stuff. It's what it is. And I have people sometimes, I'll read in the book of Proverbs. And I had a person come up to me one time in a Bible study that night after it was over. And he said, man, you are digging into some deep things. And since it was just me and him and nobody else was around, I said, we're not getting that deep. I said, what we covered tonight was what a father was teaching his teenage son on how to be a man. I said, it's what a father was teaching his child. I said, it's not deep. This is milk. This is the basic stuff that we should all know. Well, see, a lot of people have not fled their youthful lusts. They're still trying to live in them. It's all about me, 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 me. It's all about what joy I can get and what fun I can have and how this affects my feelings and my emotions, and all this has nothing to do with how we're honoring God. We need to flee. That means run from it with haste. Get away from it quickly. Flee also youthful lust. And then we need to follow after righteousness. Not what we want, what God wants. Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. A heart seeking to honor God and not seeking, God, what can I get from you? The reason all these people are following all this, all these false religions and all these false denominations and stuff like that is because they got people tickling their ear and saying, God is here to serve you. Listen, it about drives me crazy sometimes. Occasionally I get on the internet and check things that are going on, and people are sharing stuff from preachers, our so-called preachers, and what they're saying is God's ready to bless you. God's ready to give you this. God's ready to give you that. And your head's about to explode going, this isn't the gospel. This is not what God taught us, because God didn't say, look at what I can do for you. He's done that for us in Christ. That's the beginning. That's the foundation we get. But after we're saved, the rest of it is how can we serve God? How can we bring glory and honor to God through Christ and the church? How can I lay down my life and be a living sacrifice unto God to bring glory and honor to His name and not myself? I must decrease. He must increase. Let me tell you, there's not a lot of pure hearts that we're coming across today. It's what can God do for me? And it's sad that that's what we see. And it's sad that that's the reason that the Christian world is not having more of an impact, because we're focused on us instead of upon God. Instead of pointing people to God, we're trying to say, look at what God's done for us. And outside of declaring Christ as your Savior, what did Paul say? He said, I'm going to glory in the Lord. And he was talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he was going to glory in. But we're focused on stuff. He said, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. Oh man, do people love the foolish and unlearned questions today. He said, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now, verse 24 is very wonderful. If we're serving God, and I tell this all the time, I'll stand for God and I'll let you know where I stand. But if you're wanting to get into an argument back and forth, I'm not having that with you. I'll talk to anybody about anything, and I'll explain my beliefs, and I'll go through them, and I won't back down from them any. But I'm not going to argue with anybody. I've walked away from conversations, and people might say, oh, that shows they won the conversation. No, because you can tell that all it's going to be is an argument. I'm not here to argue with people. I got better things to do with my time than argue with people day in and day out. I know what I believe. I know what the Bible states as truth. I don't have to argue that with anybody. Some people say, well, you got to debate it. No, I don't. I can stand in defense of the gospel and I can present certain things, and I'll gladly have a discussion with anybody. But there's a big difference between a discussion and just yelling back and forth or just arguing back and forth. I'm not here to strive with people. If somebody says, I want to live in this sin, I want to go off doing this, and they're not a part of the church, and I'm not having an argument with them. I'll tell them what the Bible says, and then as soon as that's done, they've heard the truth, I'm going on to the next person, dusting off the soles of my feet and going on to the next. I'm not having a huge argument with people because my work is not here to strive with people. Doesn't mean I back down. It doesn't mean that I don't stand. I'll always stand for the truth and I'll never compromise it. But for me to just go back and forth with somebody having an argument with them, that's senseless. He said, be gentle unto all men. And what that means is, it's my mannerism. When I'm directing, I need to preach the truth in love. I'm not here to beat you down. I like what a man told me. He said, the word of God makes a wonderful sword, but it makes a horrible club. I'm not going to pound the truth into you so I can share it with you. I can talk to you about it. I'll be glad to have conversations. But if it's going to be where I'm trying to force it upon you, or trying to beat it down your throat or whatever, I'm not doing that. God hasn't called me to do that. He made this statement, apt to teach. That means ready, able, and willing. Apt to teach. When people have questions, I've had people come up to me and say, well, I know you probably think this is a silly question. And listen, if it's a good Bible question, if it's something you need an answer to, that doesn't hurt my feelings whatsoever. I've sat down with people and gone over the milk with them. I've sat down and gone over meat things with them. And they say, why do you believe this? Why do you believe that? Why is this? And I'll gladly sit down and I will teach people. And I will go diligently through. I'll take hours if need be and thoroughly explain what the Bible teaches, what God has said, and where we're supposed to stand on it. I'll gladly take that time. I've done it in church services. I even tell the church where I pastor, I said, listen, if you don't feel comfortable coming up and asking me a question, I said, just leave a note on the pulpit. I said, you can type it out, you can print it, you can cursive it. I said, I don't examine all y'all's handwriting to know who's who. I said, but if you got a question, I said, and you want me to preach on it from the pulpit, I said, if God's in it, I'll deal with it. I said, if it's something more private, I'll let people text message me. I'll let people email me. I'll let people write letters to me. I've talked on the phone for hours with people before. I don't mind teaching. I don't mind sharing. I don't mind explaining and going into depth with things. You've got to have that. And when you're teaching God's people, you've got to be willing. And again, here's this word, able. I can't teach something I don't know. So I make, that goes back to study to show thyself approved unto God. But you've got to be ready to teach. And you've got to have your lesson up where you can deliver it to the people. And then along with that, along with the willingness to teach and the ability to teach and the desire to teach people, there's a word that follows that, apt to teach, isn't there? Patient. I'll tell you this. I didn't just believe the doctrines of the Bible right off, even as soon as I got saved. I had to be taught the Bible. I had to be shown some things. I'm sure you did too if you're saved. And so I had to dig in. I think it's foolish to think that somebody's going to be saved and tomorrow they're going to be walking in, you know, perfect unity with Christ. They're not. Are they going to act like a fully mature Christian overnight? They're not. And you can think as Timothy, as a young minister and even working with God's people, especially when you're going out into the Gentile world and they got all these traditions, but even with the Jews, they had their traditions. Got a lot to overcome. Well, this is what I've done all my life. And then you have to say, but that's not what God wants. Well, this is what mom and daddy did. Yeah, but that's not what God wants. And it's hard to overcome that. It's hard for people to let go of it. And sometimes you got to be patient. I've taught some things before and I can see not a member in the church is submitting to it. And you're going, God, what do I do? And he said, just hold on, come back and teach you a little bit later. Teach it again just a little bit later. And I've had to do that over time. And so you preach to people, you love them, you care for them, you show them that you're concerned with them, and they're never going to be perfect. There is no perfect church and there's no perfect group of people. I love the people I get to preach to. I love the opportunity to preach to them, but I believe they would tell you up front, they're not perfect. And their pastor's not perfect. I can tell you that. There's still things I need to learn. That's why I love and appreciate my pastor. But I got to be patient. I've got to be willing to preach something and then come back again and preach it again. And it might take years for people to finally submit to something. It might be that they never submit to some things of the Word of God. But I've still got to be patient enough to come back again and again and teach it to them. And relay it to them and continue to, you know, be long-suffering and merciful with them and continue to preach the truth. He said, in meekness, notice that statement, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Notice that statement. When we're not walking in the Word of God, do you know who we're really opposing? It's ourselves. You know, I think back when Israel was getting a king and Samuel was very upset about it, that they wanted a king, and Samuel felt like, you know, well, they're just not receiving me, they've rejected me. And God came to him, he said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. He said, they've rejected me. And a lot of times, I know ministers deal with this some, and even God's people on their daily lives, but when people oppose salvation, when they oppose Christ, when they oppose the truth, it's sometimes easy for us to say, well, that's a smite on me. We need to understand. We need to listen to what God told Samuel. They haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. And that's something we need to diligently remember. They're opposing themselves by rejecting the things of God. And what we need to do is continue to speak the truth in love, in that meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We need to see that it's Satan that lies to people, deceives people, convinces them to go another way. We need to understand that. We need to have it upon our heart and within our mind that, you know, when I'm preaching to lost people, and there's people I've been sharing the gospel with for 20 plus years, even before I was a minister, sharing the gospel with some of my friends, my loved ones, and yet they've not trusted Christ. Does that mean I love them any less? No. Does that mean I stop praying for them? No. Does it mean I stop sharing the gospel with them because they won't listen? No. I need to understand that they're blinded. And while they're alive, there's still hope. And so what we need to do is in meekness and in love, continue to stand for the truth. Continue to share the truth. Continue to uphold it in every way. And just pray that over time, that God will open their eyes to the truth. And they can turn and trust in Christ. There's people that are saved that are walking in ways that I know are harmful to them. There's people that won't let go of grudges. There's people that won't forgive. And you try to teach and instruct them. Just because they won't do it right now, does that mean I stop? No. Because I keep praying for them. I keep sharing the truth with them. I still keep encouraging them to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven them. I continue to teach them how to live for God, how to serve God. Because in a great house, there's not only vessels of honor, but there's vessels to dishonor. Should I only preach to those who are living right? I'll remind you, the gospel is written for sinners. It's written for the purpose of leading people to repent. If I just focus on all the people that seem to be doing good, I'm not loving the other ones right. I want them to be right too, so I continue to preach to them and continue to encourage them. You just got to keep preaching the truth, standing for the truth, upholding the truth in every way. Do it in meekness, instructing, telling the truth, sharing the gospel, telling people to repent while there's time and opportunity. But they might yell at me, they might reject me, they might toss me aside. They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. But if we stop preaching to them, what hope do they have? If we stop sharing the gospel with the world, what hope does the world have? If we stop standing for the truths that are contained within God's Word, what light is there? We need to open our eyes. One of the main reasons that he mentioned patience here, to be patient when we're trying to teach people, is because they're not going to listen right away. They might reject us, they might call us names. And of course, in our own heart, in our own human condition, we might say, well, they feel that way, I'll just leave them alone. They don't like me, I'll just leave them alone. They don't want to receive God's words. You know, forget about them. They've heard it. No, patience. Sometimes it takes years and even decades to point a person to Christ. Sometimes it takes years and even decades for a saved person to see their need to live for God and to lay down their youthful lust. Sometimes that takes a while. You know what we're to do? Continue to stand for the truth. Continue to preach the truth. Continue to uphold it. Continue with meekness to instruct those that are opposing themselves and who are being led away in the snare of the devil. That's what we need to do. And I pray that's what we continue to do as God's people. And I ask you to pray for me that that's what I continue to do. Because it's what I need to do in my life to be an example unto the believers as God has called me to be. Today, this would be the burden that God has given us, but I do want to give you an invitation to come where we try and pastor, if you'd like to do that sometime. We work with New Zion Baptist Church in Richland, Mississippi. They have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. Their address is 341 Cochran Road, Richland, Mississippi, 39476. Again, they have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. We also work with Faith Missionary Baptist Church over in Mobile, Alabama. They're located at 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama, 36608. And they have 11:30 Sunday morning service, 4 o'clock Sunday evening service, and 7 o'clock Tuesday night service. If you'd ever like to come and be with us in service, we'd be glad for you to come. And I also want you to know that if you're further away, if you just want to talk, have a conversation, listen, you feel free. Our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can also look up the messages that we put on the radio service. We put them on the internet and a few others on the internet too. If you want to look us up at sermonaudio.com, you can look up my name, Brandon Hartfield, or you can look up my home church, Clear Branch Baptist Church. It might even be under Clear Branch Missionary Baptist Church. But you feel free to look that up and get that information anytime. Also a website we're affiliated with, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. You can look it up, FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com. Again, we pray this could be a blessing. To Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory. Help us to grow as Your people from it, and for the lost, help them to see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise for it. For we ask it all in the name of Jesus, for He is worthy. Amen.